was a good part of really a good part of the program that they, these men were still saying, we are very much in control according to our choices.
Absolutely.
That part was good.
I don't know how this is going to come out. I'm kind of scattered this morning, and the spirit is a little different amongst us, but it's good. It's okay. We need the difference. You know how synchronized things are. And so when I got up this morning, I decided to look at my computer. And there's people that send me certain emails that I never look at because of usually what they're saying and just don't need to. But this morning, when I clicked into a specific site, it was the caption was, I had a dream. And I was thrilled to find that the dream was given to Rudy Jones. We all know Rudy. So I want to read the dream to us, if I can. It was given August 21st of this year. And he starts out with, it was breathtaking. I was carried away to a high mountain with a telescopic view, and the sound and crescendo of the background music from a heavenly choir. I was feeling the constellation Aquarius and aghast at what I saw. In my memory of all the star maps that I've studied for 43 years, Aquarius was half kneeling. That's precious. Humble. Pouring water out of a jug. Finding myself in the dream within speaking distance. Aquarius was a very big man. And he was sitting on a birthing stool with three midwives assisting in a birth. There were jugs and vessels of water, but the flow of the water was actually coming from Aquarius, and he was birthing a new life. In my dream, the scripture came into my mind, I will do a new thing in the earth. This, I thought, is the new thing. A man giving birth, that was the new thing. Then I was aware that this prophetic constellation was decreed millions of years ago, but only was fulfilled at the cross of Jesus Christ. When the soldiers pierced the side of Jesus, water came forth. He was giving birth to a new creation man. And we are baptized in his water. That was the new thing in the earth. But we have missed the reality of being the new thing. Now the message is repeated night after night. Aquarius is overhead. We are new creation. And we are a brand new thing. Just touch my heart. Not that it's all dynamic or anything, but it touched my heart. It was in the flow of where I kind of am. I'll read us a projection. We need to remember that everything comes to us. Like Speed said, started this out with, wisdom builds a house on a sure foundation. It hews out seven pillars. It don't just spit stuff out of its mouth. It has a relationship with what it is talking about. Do you hear me? I mean a relationship that is steadfast. You make your calling and your election. What is your calling and your election? How do you make it steadfast? He doesn't say for you to read anything or follow anyone. What is in your house that he's already given to you makes the steadfastness in us. He wants to know about your house, the house of your amness. Who are you in his house? I give credence to everybody that writes or teaches or whatever. That's wonderful. But that is not my incarnation nor my truth. It has to be mine. You hear what I'm saying? We got a lot of people telling us a lot of things. But that's not my incarnation. I don't want it. This is what she says about. Okay. This is what she says she feels the age of Aquarius will be like. Take it with a grain of salt or eat it whole. I don't care. I give it to you. For clues, we must look at the sign of Aquarius. This lady completely ignores the tribe of Reuben. A lot of people study astrology and never connect it with the earth. So right there, I'm not with them. Mine has to connect with how I live today. What is going on into me in my life today? What's in my circle, in my scope? I don't care what's in their scope. I wasn't sent here to be anybody but me. In my house. But she doesn't do this. Somebody's going to have to get me some water because I'm doing stupid again. Aquarius is the sign of brotherhood and humanity. In the coming era, astrologers expect that the concept of individual nations will fade, that humankind will join together as one people, rather than being separated into nationalities. Thus, in the age of Aquarius, we may reach at last the long-held ideal of world peace. Predictions are there will be a great emphasis on the common man. Yes, just what I got through saying. On you, your life, not everybody else's. Where your stand is, that's what it is about. Oh my goodness. I can't identify with some other things, but I can identify with that I am in me. And that special privileges for people of high birth or wealth will become an antiquated notion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's who you are. It will be set. The individual will flow. As this occurs, I'm thinking it may be the age of Capricorn. But not saying she's wrong. Thank you, Speed. My line got loose fast this morning. Anyway, the aristocrat of the future will be the person of learning, achievement, wisdom. Aquarius is the sign of scientific knowledge and invention, and it rules the airwaves. So are we attracted to higher things? Of course. Those are beautiful things that we need to see. We need to expand our hearts and I mean our hearts. I don't care anything about the mind. It's like a rubber band. It stretches around all here and there and gathers up a lot of debris most of the time. It's impossible to imagine what mind-boggling inventions will take place in the next 2,000 years. But astrologers predict incredible journeys through space. And incredible journeys through space will definitely be one of them. I do believe that. That we will, man will travel. Exactly like the illustration Morgan told me. It will become that way. Not just travel in our own solar system or even in our own galaxy, but to the universes beyond. Awesome. And that's beautiful, and it makes me be excited. But I gotta live today and bring that down to my feet. There will be space arcs that can transport multitudes of people, space colonies, and interstellar travel. The achievement of travel to the stars will indeed be remarkable when one considers that Pluto, our outermost planet, is only 5 light minutes distance from us, while the nearest star, not counting our own sun, is 4.3 light years away. Can you explain a light year, John?
It's the distance photon travels in 1 year. Photon travels at 186,000, approximately 186,000 miles per second. So if you multiply 60 times 60, that's 3,600 times 24 times 365. If you multiply that by 186,000, then that's how many miles per year.
I'm glad your mind can go there, because mine didn't. Aquarius is also a mental sign, and to me that brings up a red flag right there. The mentality that hungers for knowledge that will take it nowhere. And the future should be marked by as yet unthinkable intellectual achievements. I remember reading about Atlantis. It's supposedly a myth. I don't know. But they got so big for their britches that they could destroy themselves. So I don't want to get that kind of big for my britches. They were able to... what was the word, Francis? What do you do? Manipulate. They manipulated everything. And when they did begin to manipulate and cloning man and things like that, they were destroyed. If it's true or not true, I don't care. Because I see it happening here. There will be concern for the environment and the discovery of new technology to solve the problems of our dwindling supplies of energy and resources on the Earth. The power of atomic energy, we don't know anything about that here in Oak Ridge. I mean, that's why we light up at night. Electronics, aviation, are all Aquarian inventions will be harnessed for the greatest possible use. Yes, Father. Aquarius is a practical sign. The purpose of the knowledge is to make use of it. Not simply for just knowing the knowledge. How do I work with the knowledge that I have? Where am I putting that? Astrologers have a special place in their heart for Aquarius because it is the sign associated with astrology. We've already seen an upsurge of interest in astrology at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Of course we do. As someone remarked, astrology is the religion of the new generation. In this coming age, astrology will no longer be thought of as superstitious, arcane, or secret knowledge possessed by only a few. Yes, absolutely, I believe that. It will be a respected scientific inquiry available to everyone. Wonderful. Perhaps it is wishful thinking to say that in the age of Aquarius, mankind will achieve universal harmony. I don't think that's too much to hope for. There's so many factions now that the factions have factions. I told Johnny, pretty soon the white person will have no say because everybody else has got to say. There is no order or justice hardly anywhere because they're trying to make justice for every man with a legalistic, hellish mind. You cannot do that. It has to be done with a divine heart, not a mind that's just let loose like wildfire, as she called it. But after all, Aquarius is the sign of hopes and wishes. I love that house. It's the 11th house. Astrologers hope that in the Aquarian age, we will build on past knowledge to discover truth. What is the truth? Well, I don't know about you, but there's a being called truth that lives so inside of me that I can't hear that other thing. Truth lives in your bones. It's in you. It's like the black man wanting his freedom. That's truth that is a part of our very conception in this life. We will build past knowledge to discover new truths. Aquarius is a truth seeker. Granted, the predictions are based on all the positive qualities of Aquarius. God in heaven, may it be taught what can happen if you don't keep it God. Reuben didn't. He lost his dang birthright and everything because he would do nothing but usurp authority in front of him. That is rampant in our world. The usurping of the authority. Anyway, such negative qualities as being inflexible, vacillation, the pursuit of a selfish desire, will also be part of the new age. And God, just turn your TV on, you'll see it. Mankind has not evolved so high that we can expect a new race of totally unselfish, idealistic people. We also must surmount grave problems. There is a terrible danger of so overpopulating the world that only a global war, disease, or famine could reduce our numbers. We're using up our natural resources at an alarming rate, stripping our planet bare of its ability to sustain life. Most terrifying of all, we have the atomic power to completely destroy ourselves and quite likely the whole earth with it. Still, the age of Aquarius offers hope. Uranus, ruler of Aquarius, is called the planet of the future, for within its dominion lie modern science, inventions, electricity, humanitarian movements. Uranus is the planet of the power of the will and of unconscious purpose. Oh, but it needs to be conscious purpose, folks. Carolyn said a long time ago that Jesus said to her, marry me in purpose. I must marry him and his purpose. What was his purpose from the very beginning? What was its truth? A promise is held out to us. We can build a wonderful new world, or we can lose all we have. It's up to the new universal Aquarians. In other words, ourselves. So we must remember the scripture. Reuben began to look at his stepmother instead of the serpent lifted up. Why did the serpents bite? Why did the serpents bite us? Because we're not looking at the one on the pole. Well, the only one I know that was on the pole was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's a historical fact. Although New Agers want to erase that and call it a myth. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. I believe in a historical Jesus. I believe in a historical Connie. I'm here. I'm not a myth. I'm not something that's unseen. I'm alive and well, dwell right here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So I'm no myth. So I don't agree with all that stuff. He began to see his stepmother, which was unlawful, and usurped Jacob's authority in rebellion, and he committed whoredom and defiled the marriage bed. All you gotta do is look at the scripture. The scripture's kind of like a rule book for me. Life lessons. But if I can't apply those life lessons to Connie, I'm missing out. I'm totally missing out. It's just words, wasted words. Okay, that's all of that I wanted to read. I don't know why I am so emotional. Y'all just have to bear with me. Because I sure wasn't this morning. I was as muted as I could be. Let's turn to...
No, I was just thinking. You can have all faith to move mountains. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. The love to me is this walking out on this earthly plane. We don't get that. We don't understand that. We can have all together and says nothing. This is not in us.
Okay.
Love has to be put into our feet.
Absolutely. Sorry, Karen. I didn't mean to make noise when I was doing that.
Yeah, Connie, when I was listening to what you were saying, there was a lot of words in what you were reading. And I was trying to think of how do I put them in a walk. The way that I think about it, maybe it's just the idiosyncratic way I'm thinking about it. That's what I'm dwelling in at the moment. Is that there's, you started out with a foundation, there's an individual foundation that is. You have your foundation, and it's really different than somebody else's foundation.
Yes.
It is what it is, and there need be no excuses or actually any negative or weak thoughts about how our Father has created us.
Amen.
He's created us, and what our role and responsibility is to build that foundation in a way that is harmonious to the way in which the foundation was created.
Amen.
So it aligns with, so that what we do harmonizes with the foundation that is our creation.
Amen.
And that's a very individual thing. So when you were speaking about various things, what I was hearing was out of the creation that our Father has given us, and out of the building on that building on that foundation of the harmonies that that come to be what we call our life, they're meant to harmonize with other people.
Yes, amen.
In the same way that we expend energy, we work toward creating a harmony in us individually. But then we turn to those around us, and we also work at creating, establishing a harmony.
Yes.
That is a constructive thing so that it all harmonizes more together.
Amen.
So when I was listening to what you were saying, that's what I was hearing in the message. You know, of all the words,
yes,
the words are there, but they all turn to one thing, and that is to harmonize with each other. And how do we do that? We do that by looking at the other person, whatever harmonies that they bring to the table.
Yes.
There's a myriad of harmonies that each person brings to the table.
You're saying a beautiful word there. It has to harmonize, not hit a discordant chord.
Exactly.
Okay. Rest my case.
Exactly. So what man does, or what our mind tends to do, is to recognize the value of the harmony, but
yes,
it tries to create its own harmony, which turns out to be, at every turn, a cacophony.
There you go.
Okay, it is a
that word.
Cacophony. It is a discordant sound that does not engender a constructive building on the foundation. It engenders tearing apart, breaking down, fracturing, actually, is a better term. And that's what happens. And so if you let your mind follow in harmony, then those that's how we decide on what choices to make.
Amen.
If in the other person, whoever it is, whether it be our spouse, whether it be a different part of who we are of ourselves, you know, it's this piece of me with this other piece of me, or in some other thing, if it engenders harmony such that the other person is built up in their harmony further than they were otherwise by you harmonizing with them,
yes,
then that engenders a constructive thing that has benefit, that has collective benefit.
And I think we're learning that.
Mm-hmm.
We were learning it. Well, you go ahead and finish.
I probably should actually stop because I'm not interested in meandering. But the essence, the core of that is that there's a principle in there.
Yes.
That you first owe to who, to yourself, first and foremost, to build your building in harmony with how, Father, you created us in,
yes,
harmony. Everyone else wants that from you. Okay?
Yes.
And as you harmonize, then and out of that, then comes the opportunity to harmonize with other people.
Amen.
Out of their strengths as well.
Well, I think people can be deceived as to, they may think they are harmonizing with others, or others are harmonizing with them as far as what they're grabbing a hold of. But I think the most important thing that you said was this, getting this idea of the foundation, the truth, and harmonize,
yes,
with that, you know, rather than getting a hold of other things that, you know, so many people today are now trying to tear apart that foundation, the truth.
Yes.
They're just going after it, you know, mm-hmm, like, and taking that out and making it all as if it's negative and building a new foundation. So I think,
yes,
we have to know what our foundation, we have to know what that is. We,
yes,
have to have an understanding of what the true foundation is first, and then we can harmonize with that, and we can pick it up in others too, as far as, are they speaking the truth, or are they speaking a new truth that wants to destroy that?
Absolutely.
We have to have an ear to hear that.
Oh, Father, seek his such to worship him in spirit. And I think we've learned a lot of what we think is spirit. I better hush there. I'll step on a million toes. And truth. If they're not coupled together, we're in trouble. I see people trying to tear the scripture down. They use it to tear down instead of build up. It amazes me. Why? Why are they so threatened by this book? There's billions of books out there and they're not threatened. That tells me right there there's a wrong spirit right there. It's wrong. I ain't going there and eating that.
All of it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. When you get away from Jesus and his reality of being birthed into this place and showing the sacrifice and all the things that he did for us, then you get away from the truth. That truth leads to
chaos. Yes. I agree that he was symbolic as well. And I think his symbol was from the very beginning through every culture, because he said, John said, behold the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He put that in place. He knew there would be myths, but there had to come an incarnation of a person. Do you hear me? A being that actually walked it and lived it out? Or what are we doing here? We're wasting our time. Paul says we're crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. To crucify means, it's the same word as standard almost. A stake or a post set upright as a cross. And it's an instrument of capital punishment. Once I heard Johnny say, I feel like I'm being punished. Indeed. In a sense, we're living a crucified life. We're learning to live the life of the human being, the new birth coming out of that crucified life. This means it's a cross to kill selfish denials, to bring harmony, atonement, just as John said. We're impaled on this cross of time and space. I know that I am. I can so identify with the beautiful cross, although I would like to get beyond some of the pain I remember. To extinguish or subdue all selfish passions. Did anybody see Mel Gibson's The Passion? There's nothing to surpass that movie. In watching Christ, Ben Caviezel played that part so well. The scourging and the beatings. Johnny said, I will never see that again, because he's so identified with his pain. That's what was hurting him. Of course, us women cry. But he was stressed and out of that movie. His blood pressure probably went as high as it could go, because Mel Gibson so profoundly captured what life can be viewed as about for all of us, so we can identify. And it's good, it's okay.
I'd like to say something about truth. Truth is very basic.
Yeah.
And it's always changing too. And sometimes your truth is all that you know, which is knowledge of what your subject that you're talking about. And what you're saying for you at the moment might be truth, but in essence, it's not.
Yes, I hear you.
Because truth is ever-changing.
Yes.
So, and I don't mean that. I mean that's for everybody.
Yes.
It's truth for all religions, it's all for all, everything. So, you can only live in the truth that you have at the moment.
Yes.
And I guess always be searching for further truth.
Yes. That's kind of what John said. He just said it in his language.
I didn't get it the way he said.
No, you brought it down to earth, but it's okay. I like that, don't you? I borrowed this, so to speak, from Rokas, but I'm going to share it because I listened to that CD until it's skipping and I probably can't listen to it anymore. He taught on symbols. And when he got to this part, he was so anointed. He said, the nails in our hands are our limitations of I can't do anything about something. Right? Do you identify with that? The nails in our feet is I'm not able to go to that place in me or outside of me. The scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. Are we wounded by transgressions? Of course. Are we bruised for our iniquity? Yeah, when we miss the mark, so to speak, or we think we miss the mark. The shed blood of Christ is our personal anxiousness. Our crown of thorns is our terrible fears that we each have. The spikes in our back are our feelings of rejection and abandonment. The spear in his side, the bloody part is disappointments. The water is the new man. I thought, God, that's so high and beautiful to me. When we can identify with these things, this is our life. So Moses made a brazen serpent and kept it on a pole. And it says everybody that beheld it, not just the word look, when you behold something, it makes a change in you, shall live. We can either be the woman in Revelation standing in the sun with the moon or reflected light under our feet. All carnal emotions under our feet. No, God, we're not there yet. Or we can be the great whore. There's two of those in the Revelation. Two women. And one was called a great whore. I don't want to be part of her. Do you hear me? I'm not going to be. I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded. I'm not like King Agrippa. Almost persuaded. I'm persuaded. That happened a long time ago. Let's look at this scripture because I have a Bible that reads different over in Galatians 3:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. This is Paul's writings. That I might live unto God. For under the law I died, and now I am dead to the law's demands, so that I may live for God. And this is what Johnny was speaking of in truths. Our truths are moving on, so to speak. We get released. The truth of God truly sets us free. What that truth is in us, and it's progressing. I am crucified with Christ. And we saw that so beautifully in those words. Nevertheless, I live. This is the new man. Yet not I, but the Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When did he give himself? Before everything that was created. The scripture says everything was created by him, for him, for his disposal, for his use. Everything. So like Speed said, you just take a kind of a different view. Take your dial and turn it a little bit and see another point of view. But don't let it eat you alive. I see lots of points of views, but I'm important. And what I know in me and see is more important than what anybody else knows and sees. Because I'm born in the house of I am, like you all are. Amazing. I have been put to death on the cross with Christ. Still, I am living. No longer I, but Christ living in me. And that life which I am now living in the flesh, I am living by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who in me, for me, gave himself up for me. With Christ, I hang on the cross. And we could so identify with that. As I was reading these different things, the nails in your hand, I thought so many times for when I wanted to help in certain situations. So, and I couldn't help. I wanted to help. My heart was to help. That's God that wants to help. It's God that has compassion. Some of these that have moved on to other things, they have no compassion. It's gone. Tell them about something sad. Oh, don't tell me about that. Well, give me a living break. We're living here on this earth, and things happen that we have to have compassion. It means a like-mindedness, like a compadre, a great friend. Good grief, be a friend to yourself. You're your own best friend. With Christ, I hang on the cross, and yet I am alive, or rather not I. It is Christ that lives in me. True, I am living here and now, this mortal life. But my real life is the faith that I have in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me on a cross. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for its righteousness came by the law. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Doesn't that scare you? I am not annulling God's grace, no. But if saving righteousness comes by the way of the law, then indeed Christ's death was useless. There's no legal system that can do this. It's a spiritual thing. Your heart marries that being. I do not spurn the grace of God. If we can be justified through the law, then Christ's death is totally needless. Any man's law. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you, in you. Can I identify? Oh, yeah. I want to learn to identify with the new man. I can identify with that cross real good. All of us can't, because we face so many disappointments in this life, things we've hoped, they come pouring out of us. Okay, let's see where I am. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith? Which way did you get the Spirit? And no law gave me the move of that Spirit within me that caused me to speak with a language I didn't know about. And let me say this to you. Any man could speak with tongues at any time if he wanted to. The gift's always there. That's not no big deal. Although I don't use my tongues foolishly or loosely, I use them in a sacred manner, not for show. The one question I would ask you, is it on the ground of obeying the law that you receive the Spirit? Or is it because you heard and believed in your heart? I simply want to ask you one thing. Did you receive Spirit by doing what any law commands or believing on the gospel message? Let me be content with asking you one more question. Was it from the observance of the law that the Spirit of God came to you? Are from obeying the call of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by any kind of fleshy knowing? Folks, this is an awesome Bible. It's a 26th translation. It don't leave us no room to be anything but who He is in us, or that she is. I don't care if it's he, she, it. It's still the Christ. I do think He came in a man's body. I believe that. And that's okay. I can handle that. But in His obeying and living His life, He was the divine feminine for us to have. He was a pattern for us to follow. That divine feminine in us, wife, that is espoused only to one husband. It's not a great whore. It's the woman wearing the sun with a crown of stars on her head and reflected light under her feet. Don't you think that's beautiful?